Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I want to talk about growing little faith. I guess there should be a comment there. Growing little faith. If you have little faith, how to grow that little faith. Let me read a text for you if I could. I would like for you to look at this text. Philip said unto him, this is Jesus and Philip having a discourse here. And it's just a wonderful discussion of what it brings out. And the Lord wants us to see that. And so the Bible said, and Jesus was talking to Philip, and Philip said this to the Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. It'll satisfy us if you will just show us the Father. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Growing little faith. You may be seated. No person is born with great faith. You know, I know some people that have great faith, but you're not born with great faith. Nobody is born with zero faith. God is fair. You know, we say life is not fair, and that's true. Life is not fair. God is always fair. The people that can go to heaven is just anybody. It's not the rich or the poor. It's not one race over another. Anybody can go to heaven. That shows the fairness of God. And so God's always fair. And so the Bible said, and I love this verse, the Bible said in Romans 12:3, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you're born, you come out of your mother's womb. Believe it or not, you have faith. That's the reason why a baby begins to nurse. They have faith. It's just an innate quality that God puts in mankind. But it's not great faith. It's just little faith. It's what I would call normal faith. So no person is born with great faith, or no person is born without any faith. And it very quickly becomes a result of your atmosphere, of what happens to your faith. Your faith can go in the downward spiral, or your faith can go up like an arrow. It'll have a lot to do with your environment, with your climate. Unfortunately, it has a lot to do with your family in those first few years. It has a lot to do with your education, your schooling, the people that are around you, your friends. All of this has an effect on what happens to your faith. Whether that little faith grows, whether it stays small, whether it's just the very basic faith of life, or whether you become a person of great faith. And as Becky said years ago, and when she said it, I had to think about it for a few days. Everything in life is a decision. You actually come to a place spiritually whether you decide, I'm going to be a person of great faith, or I'm just going to be a person of get-along faith, or I'm going to be critical and negative, and I'm going to allow people to dump into my life and poison me, and my faith is even going to spiral down and be less than it was when I was a child, when I was born. The faith, the measure of faith that God gave me. So it is a decision. The book of Hebrews is such a rich book, and it says in chapter 5, and I just love these verses, 13 and 14, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What he's saying is, you're going to operate as a Christian. You're going to, and he's talking about Christian people here. You're either going to operate in milk faith or meat faith. Just barely get along in life and everything is a trial, or you're going to get in that great faith, that meat faith, where everything is not a trial, everything is an opportunity to excel, an opportunity to achieve. And so Jesus one time, the centurion, remember him, he came out and he said, just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus was astounded. The Bible said that Jesus marveled at this man and he said, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. This man was not an Israelite. We don't know what the input in his life was, but But he went from a place with a measure of faith that he was born with to the first time he ever had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus put the good seal on him and said, this man not only has little faith, this man has great faith. In fact, I've never seen this great of faith. That's an amazing thing. Friend, I can tell you today that if the Lord can look at you and he can attest to all that listen that you have great faith, what's going to happen? Your servants, in other words, the things that work in your behalf and work for you, they're going to be healed. They're going to be great. They're going to be victorious in your life. Life is what you make of it, and you make of it what you receive from God and what you use. And so the Bible said, by reason of use, if you don't use your faith, I can promise you, your faith is never going to grow. Your faith is never going to get bigger. Your faith is never going to be greater. Becky told me, and I didn't know about this for a long time, but she used to drive our kids to San Marcos. They went to school, and we had a ranch in San Marcos, and my big idea is we're going to live at the ranch and through the week, and the kids will be right there close, and so just a few miles to school. Well, we bought the ranch, but we never lived there, so it ended up that Becky had to drive to San Marcos every morning, take the boys to school, and then drive up and pick them and bring them back. So it was a wonderful time for her to communicate with them and teach them and talk to them, and they would invariably want to get something to eat. And she said, that's where we learned. That's where I taught them we're going to need a parking place real close, and I got those boys praying for a parking place. She said, well, I ain't ever prayed for a parking place in my life. Friend, you need to start with small things. When you pray for parking places, you can also get a bank loan. These things train you. You start with small things. You say, I might not have the faith like T.D. Jakes or John Hagee or Jesse Duplantis. I might not have that kind of faith, but do you have little faith? If you've got little faith, that's seed faith. It's something to begin to use and grow, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. And so Jesus marveled at this great faith of the centurion. I would like to know the backstory of this man, what it was that he was such a believer in the power of the word of Christ, even though he was not an Israelite. The Bible doesn't share that information with us. I wish I could just stop right there and say, oh, that's it. That's not it. My text leads us somewhere totally differently. And that is that as astonished as he was by the faith of the centurion, he was just as disappointed in the faith of his disciples. Jesus was very disappointed in the faith of his disciples. He said, Philip said, I just want to see the Father. And Jesus was astonished. He was disappointed that Philip had walked with him a long time. He said, have I been so long with you and you still don't understand that I am the replica? I am the emblematic sign of God. I am, as the scripture puts it, I am the image of the invisible God. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And he could not believe that in his teaching and his communication with Philip, Philip had never, ever got that. And he was just amazed that Philip's faith was so small and so little. Four times Jesus admonished his disciples for having little faith. It doesn't mean that they didn't have any faith. It meant their faith is not grown. You know, so many Christians go to church. They get saved and go to church, and unfortunately, all of their life, they live and die with little faith. They just have that measure of faith that was assigned to them, and it never gets any bigger. They never believe God for big things. They never believe God for exploits. They never believe that God is going to use them. They never believe that God is going to open the windows of heaven and just pour them out blessings. They never believe that because they live in the land of little faith. And so four times Jesus said, O ye of little faith. One was at the close of the Lord's Prayer. After he'd given us that great pattern of prayer, the great paradigm of prayer, and how we should pray. If you follow a few verses down, he said, O ye of little faith. What was he talking about? What he was talking about was, if you look at it in Matthew 6:30, he said, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is to say, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, even so, not much more clothe you. And in this same context, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. How many people realize if you live in this world on planet Earth, even in the great state of Texas, you need things. Pretty hard to get along without things. We found that out. Hard to get along without eggs. Hard to get along without toilet paper. Harder to get along if you don't have a car. Harder along if you don't have food. You know, a lot of people criticized the fact that they asked the churches to suspend services, but they kept the grocery stores open. Well, I didn't want to quit having church, but I was so happy they kept the grocery stores open. I'd be getting really hungry about now. About 6 weeks of not eating would pretty much exceed any fasting I've ever tried to do in my life. So again, I didn't criticize. I just said, Lord, let them make the right decisions. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added in. And in this same context, he said, oh, ye of little faith. What was he saying? You don't have faith to believe that if you put the kingdom first, God will add all these things to you. That's a principle of tithing. God could build churches. God could evangelize the world with the gospel without one dime from a human being. But he said, I want to prove to you that if you put God first, the reason why it's called first fruits, that I'll add all these things. So what God has said, I want you to grow your faith. I want you to understand if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything that you need will be met. So that's the first time he said, O ye of little faith. The second time, Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm was raging. And they said, care us not that we perish. Jesus got up and he said, why are you so fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. What was he saying? He said, why is it you have such little faith? Oh, ye of little faith. He said, don't you realize that when you're in the storm of your life, I will be there? And the reason why he was asleep, he wanted them to understand that even though it might appear that Christ is dormant, there's going to be a lot of times in your life that it will seem like the power of Christ is dormant in your life. But friend, the truth is that God never sleeps nor slumbers. Jesus might have been asleep in the boat, but he knew what was going on. And it might seem like Christ is dormant in your life, but I promise you, he knows what's going on. And he said, oh, ye of little faith, don't you realize in the storms of life, I am there. And he's beseeching us that our faith will be allowed to grow and get bigger. The third thing, Jesus invites Peter to walk on the water during the storm. Remember, Jesus came walking along. The Bible said the disciples did not recognize him. And they cried out in fear, thinking he was a spirit. It was a ghost. They'd been watching too much TV, I guess. They thought he was a ghost. And Jesus again rebuked them, and he said, O ye of little faith, when Peter was trying to walk on that water, and he began to sink, and Jesus took him by the hand. What he's saying is, when you've tried your best and failed, I will receive you. I'll take over. If you will just extend yourself, O Peter, O ye of little faith. And so some of you say, well, I've tried my very best. I guess it's, oh, well, no, it's not. Because Jesus is not going to let you sink, and Jesus is not going to let you drown. And so he said, oh, ye of little faith, why don't you grow your faith and let it become bigger? Number four, when Jesus warns them of the leaven of the Pharisees, this is quite a story. Jesus had just worked a great miracle, and he had fed 4,000, then he fed 5,000, and he did it by multiplying miraculously the bread. And now I ask him to join him. When he joins them, they get hungry. And Jesus says this. He said, oh, what about the leaven of the bread? Let me warn you about the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples were so insensitive, they thought they were being rebuked because they didn't bring a to-go box. They thought, oh, Jesus has aggravated us because we didn't bring some of that bread. That's not what he's talking about at all. What he's talking about, he's using this as an example. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. And what he was saying was, you're trying to mix religion with salvation. You're trying to mix orthodox man's religion with spirituality. That's what he was really talking about. The leaven of the Pharisees is when you put your faith in man-made religion. And there's so many people do that. But if you'll study the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he was very concerned about when Philip simply did not know who he was. He did not have that relationship. So four reasons are identified as the source of little faith in John 14 and Luke 24. Let's look at this just a little bit. This is Luke chapter 14. It's one of the favorite funeral sermon chapters in the entire Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus just said, you know it. Thomas said, no, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. This is my text now. And there were four things that happened in this little passage of Scripture. Number one, Philip did not know who Jesus was. He had walked with Jesus all this time, and he still did not know who he was. He didn't understand he was Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't understand that he was God in the flesh. Philip simply did not know who he was. I'm talking about the reason why our faith remains dormant. The only faith we got is the faith that we're born in, born with, because it never, ever grows. And Philip should have known who Jesus Christ was, but he simply did not know. And Jesus was disappointed, and he was astounded that Philip could be that close physically with him all this period of time, nearly 3 years, and he did not know who he was. And you know, Jesus has that same perplexity today, and that is that people can come to church Sunday after Sunday, that people can hear the story time and again, and not really know who Jesus Christ is. He is everything the Bible said he is. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. That means if you need something good in your life, Alpha is beginning. He's able to begin something great in your life. But you must know who he is. If you don't know that, you'll have stunted faith. You'll have dwarfed faith. You'll have small faith. You'll have little faith. You'll have undeveloped faith. If you want to be a person of great faith, and we should cherish faith, the Bible said, above all, take the shield of faith. We should seek it. It is heaven's currency. It is with faith that we obtain everything. I love faith because it is the canopy which every Christian should live under, because it's faith that will keep you from sin. If you believe that God is ever present with you, if you believe that God is never, ever far from you, if you believe that God sees you, he's ever present, you're going to behave differently than if you think God just shows up occasionally. You see, there's so many things that people do that they don't do them in the presence. It starts with the presence of their mother. They won't do that because their mother's there. And then they won't do it because their father's there or their mother. Because somebody's there. Friend, when you begin, you can just preach against sin all you want to, but that doesn't work. You've got to help people understand by faith that Jesus is the Alpha, ever present, and he knows every thought. He hears every word. He sees every deed. He's there all the time. I love to preach about faith because it can encompasses everything there is about living for God. And if you know who Jesus Christ is, he's the Alpha. He's the beginning of every good thing in your life, and he is the Omega. He's the end of every bad thing in your life. Jesus, as I like to say, is the period at the end of the bad sentence, praise God. And so he is that. And so Jesus was hurt that Philip did not know who he was. And friend, I can tell you today, it still hurts the heart of Jesus Christ when we do not recognize him. When we come to his church and preach our sermons and sing his songs and worship him, but truly we do not realize that he is the Almighty God. He is the God incarnate. He is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the one that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And it hurts the heart of God. And all Jesus can do is sigh and say, oh, ye of little faith. But I want to be like the centurion. We don't know what happened to that centurion before he met Christ. But we do know he knew who Christ was. Because he said, if you'll just send your word, I know you, God. I know that you are the Almighty God. I know you are the God that sends the word to heal. And so the centurion knew more than the disciples that was with him every day. And so Jesus is saying today, I want you to know who I am. And in order to do that, you have to believe I am he. He said, without that, you will die in your sins. But when you get this revelation, praise God, your faith begins to grow. You don't have just adequate faith. You don't have just enough faith to get by, but you got faith that conquers. You got faith that has conquest. You have faith that achieves. You have faith that overcomes. You have faith that makes you the best person you could possibly be. Your faith grows from little faith to great faith. Number two, Thomas, amazing. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. And he said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And he said, whether I go, you know. And Thomas said, no, we don't. Thomas said, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, the reason why Jesus was a little concerned about his disciples, you've got Philip that don't know who he is. Now you've got Thomas that don't know where he's going. This is a ragtag group of people that Jesus has chose to change the world. And so Philip said, I don't know where you're going. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what the future is. You know, Jesus is very concerned when our faith ebbs and is still small, and we have such fear of the future, such question of the future, such an unknown quality of the future. We ought to say, I'm not sure exactly where, but I know it's going to be in the Lord. I know it's going to be good. I know he's got a mansion prepared. I know he's got a city. I know wherever he goes, I'm going with him. He wants us to know who he is, and he wants us to know where he has taken us. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said for the first place, we're sitting together right now in heavenly places. But then the Bible said we'll move from victory to victory and faith to faith. And then the Bible said we will go and be with him. So why should we be afraid of the future and Jesus have to look at us and wag his finger and shake his head and say, oh, ye of little faith? What he wants to say is, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel as I see in Living Way Church and in San Antonio, Texas, and the people that are watching right now on stream. Jesus wants you, number one, I'm talking about growing your faith from that little faith that you were born with to having great faith that's going to change not only your life, but it's going to change your family's life. It's going to change everybody you come in contact with. Why? Because that little seed of faith that you were born with, it's growing now, praise God. It was a mustard seed, but now it's a tree. And the Bible said it's so big when you get to that place that the birds could come and lodge in that tree. The Bible actually says that. And the Lord wants to grow your little faith, but it starts with knowing who he is. Secondly, you must know where you're going with him and never fear to follow him, because he's going to lead you nowhere but good, nothing but victory, always overcoming. Number three, I love this verse. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? This said Judas, who was not Iscariot. Who was this? This is actually Jude. You know the little book in the New Testament, Jude? This is who this is. This is one of the Lord's disciples. And so now you've got Philip that don't know who he is. You've got Thomas that don't know where he's going. And now you've got Jude, the third one. And he said, I don't understand your mission. He said, you're going to reveal yourself to us, but the world, they'll never know you. How can you reveal yourself to us and nobody else in the world ever know you? He simply did not understand the mission. If you're going to have great faith, you've got to know who he is. You've got to know where we're going with him. And thirdly, you've got to know the mission. And the mission is very simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that every man and woman shall hear the gospel, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. What do you mean? What do you mean, Jude? No world does not know me. There's going to be a revelation of me that every human in the world is going to know that I am the Lord. Jesus had to say, oh, ye of little faith. He had to wag his finger and shake his head and said, please, let that little seed of faith grow in you, that you will understand that I am the Lamb of God. I am the Almighty God. I am the Lion from the tribe of Judah. Nothing can resist my power. Even death cannot stop me. You have to understand that. And number four, I love this. And the Bible said in Luke 24:17, and he said unto them, this is Jesus after the resurrection, and he's walking on the Emmaus road. What manner of communications are thee that you have one said one to another as you walk on or sad? What's the story here? The story is Jesus Christ has been crucified on the cross, and his believers and followers are disbanding. because they did not understand the Word of God. And they think that he has failed by dying. They thought he was going to raise up a political party. They thought he was going to be like a Republican or a Democrat. He was going to be something like that. And now he has allowed himself to die, and they're going home decimated, destroyed, defeated, discouraged. He said, "Why are you walk and you're so sad? Why is that?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas. Now, in order to understand this, you have to know who Cleopas was. And we don't know. The Bible said there were two of them. Doesn't even name the other one. It just tells us about Cleopas. And who was he? He was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was one of the real in-crowd followers of Jesus Christ. He had been there walking with them, but now he has totally lost all hope. And Jesus said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" He said, how could you be a follower of me and not understand the scripture and understand? I said 3 days, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it again. I said that. I tried to explain it to you. Why didn't you understand what the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he explained the crucifixion and the resurrection? And Jesus said, wow. I'm having a problem with this. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." You are little faith simply because you do not know what the scripture hath said. And ladies and gentlemen, we are willfully ignorant. There's nobody watching me right now. Probably nobody in this audience watching me, and certainly nobody in this small group in this building that's illiterate. Every one of us can read. America's more educated than it's ever been educated, more intellectual than it's ever been. We are willfully ignorant if we choose not to search the scripture and find out, because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And friend, if you will study the Word of God and let that Word of God build your faith, that little faith that you were born with suddenly will begin to grow. You won't be defeated. You won't be negative. You won't be discouraged. You won't be downtrodden. You won't be defeated. You'll always be on the upside. You'll always be the head and not the tail. You'll always be the overcomer. Why? Because that faith inside of you is so strong, praise God. But we really need to realize that God has an aversion to stagnant faith. You can't have the same faith you had when you were 9 years old or 10 years old. You can't have the same faith you had the day you got saved. He wants to take that little faith and make it bigger faith and bigger faith and bigger faith and bigger faith. The Bible said, and the Word of God grew, and the Word of God multiplied, and the Word of God prevailed. That's what happens when you allow your little faith to grow. It grows, and suddenly it multiplies. It grows, it multiplies, and it prevails. God is saying to you right now, don't be downtrodden. Believe my promises. My promises are yea and amen. And God is simply saying to you, I want you not to have milk faith. I want you to have meat faith. This is a great story in the book of Hebrews. It's talking about Christ and about the entire story of his life, his death, his resurrection, and Paul writing to them. And he's saying, why is it you are so ignorant of these things? He said, you should be teachers. And he said, you are still learning. He said, you should have great faith and you got little faith. He said, you ought to have the power to cast out devils and heal the sick, and you still have to be prayed for and encouraged all the time. It's a sad thing when an entire congregation has to come and be fed milk every Sunday after Sunday. After a while, that faith ought to grow in that church to praise God. When everyone walks out of these doors, they're a disciple, they're an apostle, they're a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. Ladies and gentlemen, I realize we have gone through a tragic thing with this pandemic, but it's really just a wake-up call saying the world needs the church like it's never needed the church before. But it's not a milquetoast church. It's a church that does not have little faith, but have great faith, praise God. A church that can do exploits. A church that can perform miracles. A church that can declare the uncompromised Word of God. A church that will transform people's lives. More and more, I pray that God give us the power that will transform people's lives, because they are dead while they live. They're dead in sins and they're dead in trespasses. And when they go to a church that is anemic and weak in faith, they leave exactly like they came. But if the entire congregation would get great faith, the atmosphere would become so alive and so supernatural and so powerful. It would be in the building. It would be in the congregation. But it would also go through the airwaves. And they'd say, those people are different than I am. What happened to them? Oh, they've got great faith. They believe their God is good all the time. They believe that He is able. They believe that nothing is too hard for God. They believe it's not a problem for God to save by few or by many. They believe that one man and God is a majority. They believe that God can cast out devils. They believe God can heal the sick. They believe that God can provide every need that you have. Friend, we need to believe in a living God, a living God, a living God. I mean, a God that is able, a God that's on our side, a God that is fighting our battles, a God that causes faith to rise up in our heart. And we say, thank God, whatever the devil does, it's not going to be significant. It's not going to bring me down. The Lord is on my side. I'm equipped supernaturally. I'm fire baptized. The Holy Ghost lives inside of me, and the devil's best attempts to defeat me are gonna fall short because God is greater. God is greater. That's the God that I serve right now. And so I want to help you, every one of you. You are not faithless, but the size of your faith might not match the mission that God has for you. God wants you to allow your faith to grow. You say, Pastor, I just got a little job making minimum wage. That's not enough. You shouldn't be making minimum wage. You need to get faith and say, God is going to promote me. You say, well, me and my family, we're just kind of getting by and we can barely pay the rent. That's not enough. God wants you to have more than enough. You say, well, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. God says, I want you to live off the top of the barrel. I want to bring a message to everybody that is watching right now that God that I serve is an amazing, powerful, mighty, abundant God. And He is no respecter of persons. The joy that God has given me, the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given me, the prosperity that I enjoy in the Lord is not because of me, it's because God gave me a measure of faith, and I've taken God's word, and I've nourished that faith, and I've watered that faith, and that faith has gone from small to bigger, and bigger, and bigger, and bigger, and it's still growing. There is no telling what God is about to do at Living Way Church. There's no telling what God is about to do for Steve Fender, and there's no telling what God is about to do for you. Let your faith, the Bible said, by reason of use, you have your senses exercised. Begin to exercise that faith. Believe God for something right now. Believe God for something tomorrow. I still do that all the time. I believe God for little things, and they come to pass, and I just celebrate, and I praise God for that. I say, okay, now, God, I've got a bigger one. Here's a big thing I need. And when that comes to pass, I say, see, it's a whole lot of things. You see, when David faced Goliath, that was not his first enemy. He had smaller enemies, and he worked his way up. God wants to give you great faith. But you cannot defeat the great enemies that are against you with little faith. You got to get big faith, because big faith has big victories, and big victories has big rewards in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to somebody right now that the devil is trying to limit you, and I'm going to pray that that limit is lifted from you and you go to a place you've never been before, experience something you've never experienced.